Well, good morning, church. We had a great Holy Week last week. Did y'all have a good Holy Week? I had a good Holy Week. It was such an awesome time. I don't know about you, but I was so nourished spiritually. Maundy Thursday, the Rite of Forgiveness, our Good Friday, Tenebrae, Easter Sunday. It was a phenomenal week. I want to give a shout out to Jonathan and all of his hard work that he put into that. Thank you so much. But it was a huge, huge team effort. All of our staff, our volunteers, tech crew, those who work with children, hospitality, it took everybody. And I just want to thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful Holy Week. But if I'm honest, this Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter, always feels a little bit awkward to me. In fact, Daisy was drawing at the dining room table this week, and she was drawing a cross and a palm branch. And she said to me, "Dad, I'm still drawing this stuff from Holy Week, even though Easter's over." And I said, That's okay. But as she said that, I'm like, you know what? You're kind of right. That's how it feels. It feels like Easter's over. We celebrated it. We had the big hurrah. Now it's done with. And as our great worship host pointed out, we're still in this season of Easter, of 50 days. But we can't help sometimes. It feels like, the high point is over. Now Easter is over. And if you know me, you know that I love the church calendar. I think it's profoundly wise to dwell upon the story of Jesus every year. But I also think that if we're not careful, we might end up thinking that our faith is about celebrating things that just happened back then. And then when the celebration is over, it's over and no longer relevant for our daily lives. We celebrate amazing things, Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost, every year, because these events are the events that have changed the world forever. That's why we celebrate them every year. Therefore, they are relevant and true every single day of the year. Because of Jesus and what he has done, history has turned from BC to AD. We now live in the new age. We live in the age of the Spirit. We live in the age of the church, the age of the mission of God, going to the ends of the earth until Jesus Christ returns in glory. Do you know that we live in the end times? We've been living in the end times since 33 AD. And we know the Lord tarries, only he knows why. But we live in the final age of the Spirit because of these once-for-all events that have changed the world. And as Christians, we don't live in the past where these events happened. And nor do we primarily live in the future, thinking about just heaven when we get there. But we live in the glorious present that Jesus Christ has transformed completely and forever. And that's where the Creed takes us today. We're continuing our sermon series, Ancient Past, through the Apostles' Creed. Last week was, of course, on the third day. He rose again. We celebrated Easter. But the next line that we address today is, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Karl Barth points out that it's in this line of the Creed that we make the dramatic shift from the past tense to the present tense. So far, all that we have said concerning Jesus has been in regards to the amazing events of salvation and redemption. Notice the past tense of the Creed. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Wow! What a shift! Something amazing has happened. In Peter's Pentecost sermon, he said, Christ is exalted to the right hand of God. That's what Courtney read for us this morning. The right hand being the metaphor for the place of authority and power, which is why Christ says before he ascends to heaven that all authority in heaven and upon earth has been given unto me. He knew where he was going. Jesus' ascension is his ascension to the throne of the universe. He goes back to heaven, back to the spiritual realm. And sorry, I want to take a moment and say, welcome back to Brad Peel. I just noticed you sitting there right now as I was preaching. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're doing well. Sorry, that just totally distracted me seeing you right there. But it's so good to see you back. Now, when I preached on the descension of Jesus to the dead, I talked about how the view of the universe that's found in the Bible is traditionally three tiers. You know, below the earth for Hades, on the earth, and above the earth for heaven. And I said then, and I'll say it again now, that this is metaphorical. But just because it's a metaphor doesn't mean it's not profoundly real. In fact, I think it's the most real thing about our universe and the world we live in. And I want to give you an example that I thought about after I preached on this last time. Now, we believe that we are more than just bodies. We're more than just a bunch of atoms put together. We believe that we have a unique soul. And we kind of know this intuitively, whether you're a Christian or not. There's a real you. There's a real person on the inside. And we speak of the soul as if it's deep within us, or the very center of our being, or something, we feel something within our heart. Or sometimes we say, I feel it deep in my gut or my bones. Now, these are all helpful ways of speaking about true things, right? But are they literal? If you get an MRI, do you find your soul deep within your heart? Do you find your soul deep within your gut? No! You don't find it there, but that doesn't mean it's not real. That doesn't mean it's not the most real thing about you. Is who you are, your soul. And in the same way, this is how we should think about the spiritual realm. Although if we were to dig up earth, we probably don't find Hades down there. But it doesn't mean it's not the most profoundly real thing, the spiritual realm, heaven and earth and below the earth. And the Bible has no better way of speaking about these things. I can't think of a better way of speaking about these things besides these metaphors. So when we say that Jesus ascended, yes, it's a metaphor up, towards heaven, towards God's space, to the throne room of the universe, where he takes his rightful place as the king of heaven and earth. And that's why the earliest Christian creed, way before the Apostles' Creed comes into existence, it was and it still is, Jesus is Lord. Notice the present tense. We're not talking about primarily something that just happened in the past. The announcement of the gospel is Jesus is Lord. He is at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning. It's a present reality. And so because of this, because of Jesus' ascension, everything that he accomplished in the past, for which the church year is centered around, because of the ascension, all that becomes a present reality for the believer in Christ. That impacts how we live every day. Again, we've celebrated some amazing things this year. Christmas, Epiphany, Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. But I'm here to tell you that the reality of these days are not over and done with. Christmas feels like it was forever ago, but it's still true. It's still true today. So in other words, because of the ascension to heaven, for the believer, it's Christmas every day. It's Good Friday every day. It's Easter every day, and it's Pentecost every day. I don't mean that all these events are somehow repeated or are going on in a cycle. Okay, I think you trust I'm not being literal there. But these events, they happened once and for all. And all that happened for us and for our salvation 2,000 years ago, they're a present reality for the believer, because Jesus ascended and he's reigning right now. So I want to have some fun with this and break it down a little bit. Let's think about the idea that it's Christmas every day. It's Christmas every day. Born is the King of Israel today. At Christmas time, God becomes human. He becomes like us. Isn't that amazing? In fact, we were talking on confirmation this morning and Jake was teaching. And he said, do you all ever think about the idea that in most other religions, like God is way up there and unrelatable, and we can't connect with him, we can't reach out to him, but our God came down, saw our suffering, became one of us, and so therefore can relate to our pain, to our suffering, to our weak nature. It's an amazing thing that Jesus united our sinful, defiled humanity to the undefiled, uncorrupted, perfect divine nature. And when Jesus ascended, he took that human nature with him into heaven. You know, many of the church fathers, they say in various ways that God became human, that humans might become like God. That Jesus, because of all he accomplishes perfectly once and for all, he unites us to God by bringing his humanity with him into the life of the eternal and triune God. Jesus did not shed his humanity like clothing on the way to heaven. He brought humanity, he brought us with him when he ascended to heaven. He is still fully God, fully man in heaven. And the church father Irenaeus, he said that we ascend through the Spirit to the Son and through the Son to the Father. Because the Holy Spirit has come down, we also are now seated with Christ. We're raised up to where he is. We are now there because Jesus has brought our humanity there. So again, the incarnation is not something that's over with because it's no longer Christmas time. Jesus is still like us. But in and through his resurrected body, he defeats death. He opens the doors and gates of heaven for humanity to come in. And so our present salvation is only possible because of the glory of Christmas time. The ascension and Jesus' present reign in heaven as the one who is fully God and fully man makes Christmas a reality for us every day. Our human nature has been redeemed by Christ and united to God. And because of Christmas, we can be united with him and become more fully the image bearers of God that we were created to be. So for the believer, it's Christmas every day. God is born one of us. Secondly, I want you to consider that it's also Good Friday every day. Again, I don't mean that Christ is sacrificed again and again. That would be preposterous. But the cross is not something that just happened in the past and is no longer relevant. It is the most relevant thing for us. It's not an event that we should only consign to be a once-in-a-year remembrance. As Paul said, he wanted the Corinthians to know one thing. He wanted to know one thing among them, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus brought this once-and-for-all sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins with him into heaven. You know, he brought that with him when he went there. He brought this once-and-for-all sacrifice. Y'all remember in Revelation, in chapter 4, John has this amazing vision of heaven. It's all these beautiful pictures, and it's all these the living creatures around the throne, and this beautiful throne where God is seated, and all the angels are worshiping and praising him. And then we get chapter 5, and the heaven is saying, who can open the scroll? Who is worthy to open the scroll? And it says, one like a lamb comes forth. And it's a lamb who was slain, like a lamb who was slain, who comes and opens the scroll and takes his place at the ruling center of the universe. And so John's vision of heaven is Jesus, the slain Lamb of God, ruling on the throne. Did Jesus take Good Friday with him? Yes, he did. He's the Lamb who was slain. And so in heaven, it's Good Friday every day. Because our sins are always and eternally and presently paid for. And the power of sin is always and eternally and presently defeated. Always. Right now, it's defeated. Look what it says in John. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. The power of sin is defeated. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's Good Friday every day. At the right hand of God, at the throne room of the universe, we have the one who died for all our sins. Wow. The writer of Hebrews says this, but when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Do you see how Good Friday is connected to the ascension? He offers it there. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Jesus Christ takes the victory of the cross with him into heaven. And the writer says, a new and living way has opened. And if you remember the story, when Jesus' body was torn on Good Friday, the curtain of the temple was also torn in two, symbolizing that the barrier between God and humanity has been forever torn, and we are now united to God through Jesus Christ. And friends, when you know deep within your soul that it's Good Friday every day, that this is true every day, we ought to know that we can boldly and joyfully come into the presence of God. You know, maybe you feel like you can't pray because it's been a little while. Maybe it feels a little bit awkward. Maybe it feels like maybe the Father doesn't want to receive me. Or maybe you've made some mistakes or committed some sins and you don't feel worthy to come into his presence. Friend, let me tell you the good news. It's Good Friday today. There is an advocate. There is a Savior. There is one who stands at the right hand of the Father, who has forgiven and paid for all your sins. And Jesus, through the sacrifice of Jesus, he forgives you today and tomorrow. Turn back to him today in the assurance that he loves you, that he died for you, and that this sacrifice was not in vain. This sacrifice is still true and effective for today. I see that we've lost my PowerPoint. That is okay. It's still Good Friday. The second thing, you don't even need a PowerPoint for this. It's Easter every day. It's Easter every day. It may feel like Easter's over, but it's also Easter today. In fact, that's why we celebrate on Sundays, because the church wanted us to remember that the foundation of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So every Sunday is a little mini Easter. Despite there being an Easter day and 50 days of Easter, I know this is confusing, but the church has reasons for this that I think are relevant, but every Sunday is a little mini Easter Sunday. So the first Sunday post-Easter Sunday is a good Sunday to remind you that Easter is not something that we celebrate primarily about the past. It's a present reality we rejoice in today. It's a present reality for us. Friends, I'm here to tell you, Easter is not over. Jesus is still risen today. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is still risen today. The cross, the resurrection, and the ascension, they are one cosmic, universal act of salvation for all humanity. In fact, the resurrection and ascension, they are often closely tied together in Scripture. And you heard this in a reading from Acts, that this Jesus, God raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted to the right hand of God. See, God raised him up, God exalts him to the right hand. Resurrection and ascension, resurrection and ascension. I'll give you another example from Paul. This is from Ephesians 1. It says that power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Resurrection and ascension. Same power. Same act of salvation. And so Easter, I think, is at the very least the one church holiday that should drive home the point that we don't worship a memory. We don't worship the memory of someone who is dead and no longer alive. We don't follow the wisdom of just an ancient rabbi who had nice things to say and is no longer around. We don't follow a historical figure of some sorts that is of interest to us. No, we follow the living Jesus Christ, who is presently reigning at the right hand of the Father. Amen? That's who we worship. If Jesus had stayed dead, there would be no Christianity. Both from a historical point of view, because there's no way it could have happened Had he just died and didn't come back, it would have squashed the religion at the moment it happened. But also from a theological point of view, there is no Christianity without the resurrection. There is no reason to worship or follow Jesus if he did not really rise from the dead. We would be profoundly misled. But if he did rise from the dead, if he did, which we believe he did, as the eyewitnesses tell us, then his ascension helps us experience the reality of that resurrection every day. In the ascension, we proclaim that Jesus is still alive, truly alive, and fully alive. I think he couldn't be more alive than he is right now. He is alive in heaven, ruling at the right hand of God. And because he's been raised and has united us to himself, because he's still human, for us it is truly Easter every day. Paul says this in Colossians 3. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul says the resurrection is part of your everyday experience. Set your mind on things above. Raise your hearts and minds to heavenly realities, because that's where your life truly is. Friends, this is something that we believe and accept by faith, not by sight. It's an unseen reality that we put our faith in. And let me just remind you this morning that this whole creed started with, and I believe. I believe in this. By believing, I see what reality truly is. There might be all other kinds of things that want to prevent us from seeing this as the true reality of the world. But by faith, we put on the glasses of the creed, the glasses of the Christian faith, and then we begin to see things for as they really are. So we start with, I believe, and I'm going to seek to understand what I believe. But we start with, I believe in this. And so then we let our faith shape what we think about our lives, what we think about our world. That we believe Christ is there, and I'm there with him, and therefore I need to set my mind on that reality so that I can live differently every day. Do you follow me on that? Does that make sense? We set our mind there. We set our faith on that, and that impacts our walk every day. Finally, last one, because of the ascension, it's Pentecost every day. After Jesus' ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit on the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And again, this is what Peter was preaching that day. He said, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you now see and hear. If you remember, Jesus told his disciples that it would be better for them if he went away. So that's hard to wrap your mind around. It's going to be better for you that I go away. Why? Because I'm going to send a counselor. I'm going to send the advocate. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you when he ascends to heaven, who would teach them, guide them, and be with them. When Christ was physically here upon the earth, he could only be in one location. If Jesus was still physically here somehow on the earth now, you'd have to go travel somewhere. You'd have to go travel to maybe Jerusalem or Asia or somewhere else. But because from heaven, Jesus sends the Spirit of Christ, Jesus is with you. Jesus is in you, and you are in him. He is not far away in heaven. He is closer than he could ever be. He has sent the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, don't forget that. Don't forget that Christ is not far. Christ is with you. Christ is in you. The hope of glory. And this Spirit was given to build up the church for the mission he has for us. Do I have my PowerPoint back? Okay. We've had a resurrection of the PowerPoint on this Easter day. All right. Let's go to the Ephesians passage if we can. There we go. Paul says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to the people. Notice the connection between the ascension, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So through the ascension, Jesus, he's Lord of heaven and earth, but he's also Lord of the church. He's the head of the body. And as he sees fit, he gifts and calls and equips every member of that body for the works of service, for the work of ministry that he's called his church to do. Because it's Jesus' church, it's Jesus' mission, it's Jesus' kingdom, and we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of it. And now we're imparted with these spiritual gifts and power through the Spirit to do the things Jesus did. In fact, that's what Jesus said in the account of Acts before he ascends to heaven. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And friends, that's where we live now in the present. This cosmic act of salvation has happened. And now we live in the age of the Spirit, the age of the church, the age of mission to the ends of the earth. And the next age is it. That's what we're going to get to next week. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. History will wrap up. Everything that is wrong will be set right, and we will be with God forever and ever. And so right now, you and I, we kind of just have one main mission. It's to extend the kingdom of Jesus, to do the things Jesus was doing. That's what he has sent the Holy Spirit for us to be doing, is extending this mission and sending this message out to all the peoples of the earth. Because these events are not just things that happened 2,000 years ago, they are the most important thing for people to know about today. That Christmas is true for them today. That Good Friday is true for them today. That Easter is true for them today. That Pentecost is true for them today. People need to know that. Your friends, your relatives, the people you work with, they got to know. They got to know that this is true. And that because it'll change their life, it'll change their eternity, it's the most important thing that they could know. And that's what the Holy Spirit has given us to do. Across the Covenant Church today is what's called Bless Sunday. It's a practice throughout our entire denomination. We did this last year, if you were here. In every year, the Covenant invites us to pray for people who don't yet acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We want to pray for them because it begins with prayer. And the church invites us to consider the acronym BLESS. It stands for ways that we can bless others in the hopes that they take steps towards Jesus Christ. It stands for begin with prayer. We got to start with prayer and the Holy Spirit drawing people, listening well to people, their story, their pain, their hurts. Eat together, as Jesus often was doing at the table, serving them, showing them the love of Christ, and sharing our story, how Jesus has changed our lives. And why we believe this is the most important news, important thing that they could embrace and give their lives to. So we hope this serves as a helpful reminder. And actually, as I end this sermon, I want to give you a few moments to prayerfully write down some names. You should have received a blessed bulletin in your worship bulletin this morning. And you're actually going to write down these names twice. You will keep one bookmark for yourself, and then the other one you will give to the church. When you come forward for communion, there are these baskets at the end of each row, at the front rows. On your way to communion, you can drop that in one of those baskets. Those names and those cards will then be brought to our central conference annual meeting where they will be prayed over. And then all the conference ones will come to the denomination's annual meeting where they will be prayed over as well. And we pray for a harvest of souls to come to the knowledge of the truth that Jesus is Lord. Yesterday, today, and forever. We want people to know that. And so I want you to take a few moments, 1 minute, 2 minutes or so, prayerfully write down these names. Ask the Lord, who should I write down? Write that name down. And then afterwards, Mark is going to come forward and lead us in prayer.